Well, it's good to be back on a Sunday night, and I did have some of the guys ask me if I had any pinto beans and cornbread, and I did break the news to them that Mama had made, some not only beans and cornbread and mashed potatoes, but we had roast and smothered steak and pork roast. And I'm going to get it all out there. Mexican casserole, corn and homemade macaroni and cheese. I think I've named most of the stuff. All the stuff I like, you know, all the stuff I like.
What'd you have for dessert?
And I had coconut creation that had about it was a combination between a coconut cream pie and ice cream. You can't get any better than that. And I had that. Then they had pies and cakes and everything else. And I did do good. I did drink water with grape crush that only had 10 calories. That's the only low-fat thing. Bless the Lord, you got to do something good. And you're going to eat all that. I'm telling you, I'm halfway sleepy tonight. You should have. Someone asked me, said, "Boy, you should have brought us some of that coconut creation." I said, "You'd have never got any of it because I dated on the way over here. 55-mile journey or however far it was." And anyhow, I'm honored to be back and thank God for the good service. I'm like the pastor. I know that the Lord honored us and moved among us in the preaching and even in the altar call. And ladies and gentlemen, we can't take credit for what the Lord does. He gets all the glory and the honor. And I'm thankful for how he's moved. And if you have your Bible, I could not. I with a little bit, I almost preached this morning. And I was between two. And I preached on Calvary this morning. And tonight I'm going to go to the book of Genesis. Go with me in the Old Testament tonight, Genesis chapter 35. Now I'm going to begin reading there in verse 16, and I'm going to read all the way down to verse 21. And I will tell you that everybody's doing well, and I don't just say this. I thank you, Brother Carl, Pastor, and Cornerstone for the invite to come. Genesis chapter 35. I believe you'll find a familiar scripture here. But I believe there are some insights in this scripture. And I want you to listen carefully to what I'm about to say. That'll help every one of us in this sanctuary. I get nervous when I get around that crowd that acts like they ain't anything in the Bible that applies to them. I believe it all applies to us, and that we need to be preached at, and the Holy Ghost deal with our lives. Well, look with me, and when you get to Genesis chapter 35 and verse 16, if you found that, do me a favor and say amen.
Amen.
If you said amen, or even if you didn't, I want you real briefly, quickly, stand with me as I read to you from the Word of God. Genesis chapter 35 and beginning in there in verse 16. And they journeyed from Bethel. There was but a little way to come to Ephrath. Rachel travailed. She had hard labor. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, "Fear not, thou shalt have this son also." Came to pass as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name. I want every young man, young lady, everyone to listen. She called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is in Bethlehem. Two of the most intriguing scriptures that I find interesting is in verse 20 and 21. Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. That is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the Tower of Edar. Father, I thank you tonight for the reading of the word of Almighty God. I thank you for the good service that we had this morning. We've come back again to hear from the God of heaven. I pray tonight that if there's anybody lost, that you would save them. If there's any that is backslidden, that they'd come home. If there's any sick, God, we still believe at Cornerstone that you and you alone are the healer. Do something in our midst that only you can do. God, bring revival to Roland, Oklahoma. Move in the hearts of every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. Do something on a Sunday night that only you can do, and we'll give you glory and we'll give you honor. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
You may be seated. Now, can y'all later in the message pull up verse 20 and 21 for me? Can you? You don't have to now. Thank you. I want to preach tonight. If you like to jot down what the preacher preaches, I want to preach tonight, transforming your heartache into hope. I need to hit the rewind and say that one again. Transforming your heartache into hope. Do you realize on a Sunday night that many of us have walked into the sanctuary and life hadn't been easy? Amen. And things haven't always gone according to the plan that we've laid out. And Brother Beal, I come by to preach to somebody that maybe you've been brought into this sanctuary at a place of difficulty. Life hasn't been easy. Life has been overwhelming. But can I just give you some hope? God can make that trial a blessing. God can use the hurt and the disappointment to teach you and I valuable lessons on life's journey. Amen. And I want you to notice with me that in the time of crisis, in the moment of pain, in the moment of grief, when Rachel is about to die, Brother John, and Jacob is watching his sweetheart, the lady that he loves, she passes from this walk of life. But I want you to note this. Jacob refuses to allow the heartache to rob him of the hope that God had for him. Amen. And you say, Brother Derek, would you get down to where we live? Well, Rachel, the Bible said, had travailed. She had hard, hard labor. Matter of fact, it said it two times. She names this baby boy. She names him Ben-Oni. Now you need to understand that name, Pastor Carl, Benaniah means, or Ben-Oni means son of my sorrow. Son of my sorrow. I thought about Rachel. I thought about this woman in scripture, the lady that loved children so much, that was so passionate to have children. She said, I'll have no peace. I'll have no ease unless I bear children. And now, Pastor, she bears a son and she calls his name Ben-Oni, son of my sorrow. Would anybody agree she allowed the disappointment to influence her? She allowed the heartache, the disappointment of the moment to influence her, to call his name Ben-Oni. Jacob stands up and says, watch this, Brother Ron. He says, no, his name will not be called Ben-Oni. His name will be called Benjamin. Now, I'm going to try not to get too excited because it is on a Sunday night. But Benjamin means son of my right hand, as well beloved as my right hand. Benoni means son of my sorrow. Benjamin means son of my strength. Hey, would anybody agree? There are two ways you can look at stuff. You can either call it sorrow or strength. You can either call it disappointment, or you can allow God to deliver you. You can either look at the heartache, or you can look at hope. Would anybody agree? There's always two ways to look at things. Now, a guy went a long way, and I'm just now getting to where I really want to talk to you. I said, God, how could I preach to people about heartache, disappointment? I've been a traveling preacher since 97. I could claim 96. And everybody thinks that it's just gravy train and biscuit wheels. I mean, they just think you just get up and you sweat, spit, kick, and holler. And that's all you do. And you stay in luxury hotels. Everybody look up here. You got the wrong idea of where you stay out in evangelism. But hey, I'm not complaining, and I don't want you to read it that way, but I am going to tell you, would you agree with the man of God? You can call it bitterness, or you can call it hurt, or you can call it grief, or you can call it hatred, but I come by to preach to somebody. There is glory beyond your grief. There is hope beyond your heartache. God knows what he's doing in your life. Now, Pastor, if we're going to preach the text, then I want to give you three truths about Jacob that I believe applies to every one of us if we are going to transform our heartache into hope. Number one, I want you to jot this down. You must have closure for the disappointments that are behind you. Boy, I got to say that one again. I'm not sure it got all the way to the back, but I will say that again. I said, you got to have, Brother John, you must have closure for the disappointments that are behind you. Now you say, Derek Stinnett, what are you trying to tell me? We'll get to Jacob in just a minute. It reminds me of the wise man of God, the wise minister that was consoling and counseling a young preacher. The young preacher, he second-guessed every decision he ever made. He would battle in his mind. He would make a decision, Brother Carl, and then he'd second-guess his decision. And he was having a hard time sticking with his decisions. He was battling that in his young ministry. The old man of God said, I'm going to take the young preacher and I'm going to pour into him and I'm going to instruct him. Can I go ahead and tell you, if there's anything we need to be doing, is pouring into young men. Amen. And helping young men. I'll tell you something. I don't have time to preach that. But I am going to say, so the old man of God is walking with the young preacher, and they come to a gate. And they opened the gate. The old wise man of God opened the gate, and he told the young preacher, he said, go on through, son. And they both walked, Brother Tom, they both walked through the gate together. And when they got to the other side, the old man of God thought, I'll teach this young boy a valuable lesson. And he reaches back and he closes the gate. And he said, son, he said, I want you to notice. He said, when I walk through a gate, I make sure I securely close the gate behind me. I make sure that I securely close the gate behind. Hey, can I go ahead and talk to somebody? There are some people under the sound of my voice that you need to walk through the gate and you need to securely close the gate behind you. Amen. If you agree with that, shout a big amen.
Now I will say this, and I could elaborate, and this is the best that I have. Jacob, no doubt, it broke his heart, Brother Bill, when his sweetheart died. His sweetheart passed away, and it must have broke his heart. And he probably thought, I did my best. I did all that I could do. And listen, and she gave birth to the baby boy. I jotted this down in my notes, and I don't want to forget it. Now I'll go ahead and break it to you. ABC. Well, Brother Derek, what are you giving us, the ABCs? Well, jot this down. Adversity builds character. I got two amens and the rest of you nodded, so that's enough. Adversity builds character. In 1982, the cosmonauts went into outer space, and Brother Frank, they were in outer space for 200 days. When they landed back on planet Earth, after being in space with zero gravity, they landed back on planet Earth. And when they landed, their equilibrium was off. They could not stand, and they literally fell to the ground. Here's what they discovered in being in space. Zero gravity made them weak. So they decided, Brother Carl, to build what they titled was a penguin suit. And every step was met with resistance. Every movement was met with adversity. They went back to outer space. This time, they spent 300 days in outer space, but they were in a penguin suit. Brother John, every step is met with resistance. Every movement of the arm was met with adversity. This time, when they came back to planet Earth after 300 days in space, they had no ill effects. They were able to walk. They were able to move. Here's what they discovered. If you don't have any resistance, if you don't have any adversity, it makes you weak. Hey, I know there are some Christian men and Christian women under the sound of my voice. You say, but oh, Brother Derek, every step of my life has been met with resistance and adversity. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know what God is doing? God is making you able to take a licking and keep on ticking. God is building something inside of you so you can weather the storms of life. Woo! Sometimes you just got to shout on your own message if nobody else does. Hey, you say, Brother Derek, are you getting where we are? I think I know that all hell might break loose in your life. But God is looking, Brother Carl, for a man and a woman that'll refuse to retreat, and will just stand in there and stay and stick till God calls them home. Amen. Adversity builds character. Now, I'm still on point one, and I'm doing my best. It is Sunday night. You got a little more freedom on Sunday night. I mean, it's not near as pressure packed as Sunday morning is. I feel a whole lot freer tonight. Somebody say amen right there. Now, you need to write this down. And I'm going to dig this out. Look at verse 20. And if you don't mind, put that up on the screen so they can see it. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. That is the pillar of Rachel's grave. Under this day. I want you to leave that so they can see it. Leave that for a few moments. Can I tell you, it is in our nature, human nature, that we harness ourselves to heartache. Look, hold up. And not only do we harness ourselves to heartache,
We anchor ourselves to anguish. Amen. You say, Brother Derek, I really don't know where you're going with that. Well, just give me a minute. They tell me that when Hurricane Katrina hit in Louisiana. Now, I'm going to go ahead and talk to everybody because I love you. Can I go ahead and tell you, if I lived, I don't live, but if I lived in Louisiana, and they tell me a hurricane is coming in, and there's winds at 200 miles an hour, and they say to me, Brother Carl, you need to evacuate. I will be an evacuee. Look up here. Brother Bill, you won't have to tell me twice. I'm out of there. There ain't no need in trying to be tough. You might as well leave. Well, this fella, he had a wife, and she begged him. She begged him to leave. She said, honey, I don't want to stay here. Brother Tommy, they lived in the ninth ward, and the place that got flooded the worst. Obviously, they didn't know it was going to happen that way. He gets on the highway with his wife, and they get on the interstate, and they're trying to leave. The crowds are so heavy and packed the highways that he couldn't go. And he tells his wife, honey, we cannot make it. We might as well go home and ride out the storm. He turns around and gets inside his house, and the waters came, and the flood came as the winds blew the ocean inside and got over the levees. And you know the story probably better than I. The water got so high that they had first got on the couch, and then they got higher than that. Eventually, they wound up in the attic. The water got all the way up, almost within a couple of inches to the attic. She had a massive heart attack and died. The husband lived. It was 2 days later before they could come and get his wife out of that home. A few years later, Brother Carl, after his wife had died, another hurricane came through the same area. And they asked him, Brother John, they asked this guy, they said, are you going to leave? Are you going to evacuate? And here's his answer. I can't leave. I'm chained here by my own guilt. I'm chained here by my own guilt. Can I tell you, I'm preaching to people that are chained by their own guilt. Something that happened years ago, something that transpired, some weakness or a moment that you made a wrong decision, or something was done to you. And ladies and gentlemen, would anybody agree? The devil will play the game of repetition, and he wants to chain you to your own guilt. If you agree with that, shout amen.
Amen.
Now, if we're gonna preach all the way where we are, I got to give you the whole thought. The Bible says, and you need to notice this, in verse 20, he sets a pillar upon Rachel's grave. That is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. Now, Pastor, I'll say this, and I want every man and every woman to listen carefully. If we're not careful, we'll allow our past to harness us to the heartache. We'll allow our past to anchor us to an anguish. And I deal with people on a weekly basis. Well, Brother Derek, if he would just ask me to forgive him, I would forgive him. Everybody look up here where I can break something down to you. He probably is never going to come to you and ask you to forgive him. But whether he comes or not, forgive him.
Amen.
Pretty good preaching. I thought so. I amended myself. And whether she ever comes to you and asks you to forgive her or to forgive what she done, ladies and gentlemen, you listen to me, you better forgive and you better let it go and you better journey beyond. If you agree, would you shout amen?
Amen.
I think I'll get it where we are. I said, I want you to jot this down. I'm as shocked as anybody. Brother John in the sanctuary, I'm already on point number two. Son, you have to admit that is fast preaching. So you must have closure for the disappointments that are behind us. Number two, I'm going to preach to the church. I'm going to preach to all of us now. Jot this one down. And I'm fixing to pull up verse 20, 21, but I want to look at 20 one more moment. Jot this down. You must have courage for the days that are before us. I want you to look up here. Must have courage for the days that are before us. Can I go ahead and tell you, I'm wise enough to know. Please don't try to make anybody believe I'm trying to tell you I'm smart. But I'm wise enough to know. I know ISIS is cutting heads off. I know that the depravity of mankind and the sin of mankind is overwhelming. I'm smart enough to know that we're in trouble in America. But I want the church of the living God to know that if we're going to reach this generation, we got to have courage for the days that are before us. Woo! That's pretty good preaching right there. Hey, I'm telling you, I get around guys, Brother Carl, and all they do, and I hope you don't think I've got my head in the sand. I don't have my head in the sand. I know it's dark. I know things are out of hand. I know that ISIS are cutting off heads. I know that terrorism is out of control. But ladies and gentlemen, I get it that Russia is building an army bigger than they've ever built. I get it that America's back is against the wall, but the church of the living God doesn't have to take a back seat. We are king's kids. We got royal blood that flows in our veins. And if we're going to reach this generation, we got to have courage for the days that are before us.
Amen.
Now, I said all that. I'm an evangelist. You can see me. You can get where my heart is. But I am going to show you. Jacob sets a pillar. Everybody say this. Everybody say, Jacob.
Jacob.
You did good. Now, look what Jacob did. Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. Now pull up verse 21. Now everybody say, Israel.
Israel.
Now, in verse 20, you don't have to go there. In verse 20, it says Jacob. In verse 21, it says Israel. Brother Derek, is there any preaching material in that? Well, if you've got any preaching, it's got a lot of preach in it. And now hold up. Don't get mad at me. Listen, as Jacob, he erected a pillar. As Israel, he journeyed beyond. I'll try to stay calm. As Jacob, he wept. As Israel, he journeyed. Hold up. We'll shout in a minute. We'll take time shouting in just a minute. As Jacob, he mourned. As Israel, he moved on.
Can I go ahead and talk to somebody? Somebody in this sanctuary, you've been hanging out. You've been harnessed to a disappointment, harnessed to a heartache, anchored to an anguish. And God brought a raspy voice, bald-headed preacher, about to tell you, you've lived in Sorrowville long enough. It's time to pull up the tent stakes, baby, and move on. You need to keep on keeping on. You felt sorry for yourself, but Jacob, he wept and cried. He mourned. He got down. But as Israel, he said, I'm moving on. I'm going to keep on keeping on. You got to have courage for the days that are before us. Yeah. Woo! Yeah. Hey, now you say, Derek, this is Sunday night. Yeah, that's the freest crowd you'll preach to. Don't tell that Sunday morning bunch I said that either. We don't want to hurt their feelings. But Brother Carl, I'll give you this. As I plow among us, in Gettysburg, they had 10,000 soldiers die. Brother Bill Rogers, 5,000 horses. Brother Ron, 5,000 horses died. 10,000 soldiers, 5,000 horses. One civilian, one innocent girl, died of a stray bullet. Brother Tom, here's what caught my attention. So that's 10,000 soldiers, 5,000 horses. After this event of 10,000 soldiers dying, 40,000 more people died near Gettysburg. Now I need everybody to look up here. Brother John, here's why. They didn't bury the dead fast enough. They didn't bury the dead fast enough. Now, y'all don't believe me, but I will tell you, I could preach 30 minutes on that. But I'm going to give you a grace period and just go for about 5 good minutes. I was hoping for a grin or something out there. The air became contaminated. The water was poisoned. Fever broke out. I'll just explain to you as the best I can. The worst thing you can do is leave dead things out in the open. When someone asks you to forgive them, humbly forgive them. If someone says, I done you wrong, and whether they ask you they did something wrong, you still, as I preached earlier, you have to forgive them. And I'm just going to get real transparent. I've got a 16-year-old daughter. She'll be 17 the 23rd of this month. I've got a 9-year-old boy that'll be 10 later this year. Brother John, can I go ahead and tell you? I try not to tell my kids all of the horror stories that I've faced and all of the heart hurts and the pains that I've faced, because I don't want dead things to drag them and destroy their hope and trust in Jesus. Amen. Would you shout amen to that?
Amen.
I want to tell you something. I want you to hear me. They decided in Gettysburg, this was remarkable to me. They decided in Gettysburg that the best thing they could do was bury the dead, because if they don't, more people are going to die. And they gave, this will blow your mind. They gave you, Brother Carl, $3 for everybody you buried in the ground, you got $3. Now, how many know that might not seem like a lot now, but back then that was big bucks. And one lady, this is what caught my attention. One lady was 6 months expecting a baby. And she buried by herself
and 20 bodies. Everybody look up here. Brother Ron, here's why she did it. She thought to herself, I don't want to bring my baby into a world filled with this heartache and filled with this disease and this water that is poisoning in us and the air that is contaminated. I'll take it upon myself to bury the dead and get it 6 feet under. Hey, I don't know who I'm preaching to on a Sunday night, but some of us need to have a burial service. Some of us need to get some stuff at least 6 feet under the ground and bury it and let it go. Woo! I want to tell you something about, I've noticed in the church, I shouldn't say just church, I've noticed it in general. Sometimes we get sour in church. We allow the hurt in church to disappoint us. We harbor on it and we don't let it go. Would you agree with me? It robs us. Brother John, I'll move to my final point. But Frank William Borum, I knew when I read about Frank William Borum, he was a hateful, always sour, elderly man. Here's how I knew he was sour, Brother Carl. None of the children even liked him. You got to be pretty bad for the kids not to like you. He said on his dying deathbed, Frank William Borum said, I've been a mean, hard, cruel man. He said, my best friend in school done me wrong and I never forgave him. I want you to think of this. He said, I never moved on. I never forgave him. He had a wonderful family. I never forgave him. I never let it go. And it caused bitterness in my heart to my dying day. He said this, Brother Tom. He said, it's been gall on my tongue and gravel in my teeth. He said, it never hurt me, or it never hurt him, but it robbed me of my happiness, my joy, and my victory. And he said, it's defined my life. Can I go ahead and tell you, you need to let some of that stuff, you need to let all that stuff go. You need to learn to journey beyond and bury it and move on and go on for King Jesus. Well, I won't look at the clock and I won't add up how long I preached. But I will give you this. There is a baby in this story that I have to introduce you to as I push toward the final point. This baby is named Benjamin. Do you realize, and I think you'd agree, the baby, Brother Carl, cannot be overlooked. Rachel is in bearing the boy and bearing the son. And the Bible said she's in departing. She's about to die. She gives birth to this boy. I'm sure it disappointed her that she knows she's not going to get to raise him and teach him. And she died. But can I go ahead and announce to the crowd, Brother John, we must carry the baby. We must nurture the baby. We must keep on going because of the baby. Amen. I thought of this. And I want you to write this down and I'll close. I'll try not to bore you. You must have closure for the disappointments that are behind you. You must have courage for the days that are before you. Now, here is the point I want to preach to us, the church. Lastly, you must be committed to the dream that is beyond us. You must be committed to the dream that is beyond us. Jacob buried. Israel journeyed. Israel prayed. Israel dreamed and kept on going. He recognized, Brother Carl, there was purpose beyond the pain. She called him Benoni, means son of my sorrow. He called him Benjamin, son of my right hand, son of my strength. It got real on me, Brother Bill. that Jacob, the reason Jacob gave him a name change is Jacob knew what it was to have a wrong name. Jacob's name meant supplanter, deceiver, heel catcher. He looked at that beautiful boy and said, that boy ain't going to have to deal what I dealt with. I'm going to pour in that boy, and that boy's going to learn some truths, and that boy's not going to be a conniver. I'm not going to teach him like my mama taught me. Mamas, you better teach your kids right. Amen. That's another message. Somebody grin real big. Here's the close. I promise. Why do we need to carry the baby? Why do we need to journey beyond? Why do we need to be committed to the dream that is beyond us? Brother Tom, I think you'll like this. Do you remember a man in the New Testament that wrote 12 books of the New Testament? The Apostle Paul. Do you remember what tribe he came from? Benjamin. Oh, mama, daddy, keep carrying the baby. You don't know who's coming. You don't know who's going to be the next great Paul. You don't know who's going to be the next great man of God. Keep carrying the baby. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, give me. Let me do this right here. Just right now. How many give me 5 minutes? Let me see your hands. 5, 10, 15, 20. 20. Hallelujah. I'm feeling better about this whole deal. If y'all believe I'm going to take that much time, you don't know me. I won't do it. I was sitting in West Fork, Arkansas at the football game. It was raining that night. And God began to deal with me. Now, Brother Carl, I'll be honest. God don't always deal with me at a ball game. But he was dealing with me that night. Not because I was at the ball game. I mean, some of y'all probably thought I lost it, but I was at a ball game. Don't y'all sit up there and act like y'all never been to a ball game. I was there. And I was sitting up there, and I'll be as honest as I can be. But, Bill, I didn't know if we was winning or losing. I was communicating with God. God told me something up there on that. I had my back to the press box at that high school football game. And I'm going to be transparent. I'm not saying it's hard. But how many know when you get transparent, it gets awful real? Yes. I was sitting with my back against that press box. Here's the words God told me, Brother Carl. Derek Stennett, you're not dreaming like you used to. Tears plowed furrows down my face. I said, what do you mean, God? I preach every night of my life. He said, yeah, you do. But you're not dreaming like you used to dream. And I said, well, God, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to dream again. And ladies and gentlemen, if an evangelist that travels every night of his life can get the word from headquarters that he's not dreaming, I suspect there's some people in this room that aren't dreaming like you ought to be a dreaming. Because I'll tell you, I know there are people, well, Brother Derek, you know, Cornerstone has only got the potential to reach about this many folk. Well, you're not the right kind of dreamer. The God I serve can knock down these walls and build a building so big they'll say, why did you build a building? Oh, because God wants you to dream. God wants you to believe. God wants you to reach this town. And it's not just numbers. It's precious souls that need to be one in the family of the living God. Would anybody agree with me? You need to dream and dream again. Hallelujah. Dream again. Now you're going to think I'm being redundant. I won't go back over my message. Matter of fact, I'm going to shut my Bible. I've got my little dab of notes, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to hold my Bible. I'm going to talk to you. They tell me, Brother Frank, they tell me. Now, I walk and run every day. Except on Saturday, let me back up. I kind of storied. Brother Ron, I walk and run every day when it's sunny and nice. And I don't do a lot of walking and running on Saturdays and Sundays. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I run, walk, I do good. But I'm not a marathon runner. And if you ever catch that they told you I ran 26.2 miles, investigate. About 20-something miles to more than I want. But anyhow, I didn't know this, Brother Carl, and this is my closing statement, closing story. The Boston Marathon is one of the hardest marathons. I didn't know it, but it is. Here's why, Brother Ron. At the end of the race, there are four long hills. At the end of the race, one of the great runners of yesterday came over to run in that Boston Marathon, and he made all the race. He did real good. He made the first hill, the second hill, the third hill, but on that fourth hill, he couldn't climb it and he fell off to the side. Here's what he said of that last hill. He said, I wasn't expecting that. And to this day, they call that last hill Heartbreak Hill. They moved, now you're going to love this, they moved the spectators from, instead of being at the front of the race, they moved them to the end of the race. And they wag you on. Keep going. Keep running. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. And then on that last hill, you top one hill, two, three, and the fourth. When you get over the fourth hill and you come off the top of that fourth hill and you get down the hill, Brother Tom, they got a big banner. They got a big banner that reads, Heartbreak is over. Hold up, I'll shout in a minute. Heartbreak is over. Amen. You're almost home. Y'all didn't hear that. Heartbreak is over. You're almost home. I come by to encourage somebody tonight to allow God to transform your heartache into hope and dream again.